Okay, this is the Pacifica National Board special teleconference meeting for October 19th, 2007. Mary Berg is the chair, is the secretary of the board. Mary, will you call the roll, please?
Dave Adelson.
Here.
Mary Berg, present. Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
Lydia Brazon.
Here.
A.C. Bird.
Here.
Lisa Davis.
Present.
Chandra Hoffman.
Here.
Ray LaForest. Ambrose Lang.
Here.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Margaret Prescott.
Here.
Barb Rondawa.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Bertold Reimers. Barb Robinson.
Here.
Rip Robbins.
Present.
Thomas Ruffin. Wendy Schrell.
Here.
Lori Taguma. Don White.
Here.
LeVarn Williams.
Present.
Michael Woodson.
Here.
Lonnie Hicks. Lonnie.
Here.
Okay, thank you. Dan Siegel.
Here.
Okay. If anybody just now got on the call whose name was not called, please say so. Okay.
Sounds like we have quorum. I distributed a proposed agenda for tonight's public meeting, calling for the order being roll call and approval of agenda, 10 minutes, the confidentiality agreement, 15, the digital distribution consultant report, 40, motion regarding status of UPSO recognition by KPFA management, 60 minutes, motion from the Finance Committee regarding funding for development professional, 15 minutes, and the Brazon motion on reporting out of executive session, 20. Is there a motion to accept that proposed agenda?
Move approval with the numbers being maximum numbers.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second.
Any amendments, debate?
Mary Berg. Since the digital distribution report is
right.
All the others are motions, I would like to move that to the end so that we be sure to get the business done, and then we'll have whatever time is left for the report.
Yeah, there's a motion to make the digital distribution report the last item of business. Is there a second to the amendment?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, any debate? Hearing none, any objection to adopting that change?
Rip Robbins objects.
Okay, are there any other objections? Okay, hearing no further objections, then that order is changed. Any further amendments?
This is Bob.
Bob?
I move to end the meeting in 2 hours, which would be 10:45 Eastern.
Second.
The agenda as proposed is over 2 hours. In fact, it is 2 hours and 40 minutes, so you'll have to propose what you're planning to change, an across-the-board reduction in time or the elimination of one of the items.
I think that the upsell motion could be cut to 45 minutes.
We're going to be hearing from four different people presenting information and having debate. I strongly doubt that. I mean, I'll, if that's your motion, go ahead. But my experience tells me it's not going to happen.
Mr. Chair, since the original motion called for these to be maximum times, we don't have to do this.
Well, but the member's trying to propose a motion that reduces the time.
Yeah, I know.
So, Bob, unless you can specify a manner of reduction of the time, I'm going to proceed.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and proceed.
Okay. Thank you. Any other amendments?
Oh, Dave, I'm sorry. This is Bob. I thought you were going to proceed with a vote on my motion.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that let the time work out as it works out, and at 2 hours, the meeting ends.
Okay, that's a substitute motion, and the problem is I'll just entertain that as a motion. So there's a motion to adjourn at a time certain, 10:45 Eastern time. Is there a second?
I second.
We're in time of call.
Any debate?
I promise to get back to you.
Who seconded that, please?
Lydia.
Thank you.
Sorry.
This is Bob.
Any debate?
No. Can I just speak briefly?
Yeah, go ahead. But before you do, I want to point out that given the time that are here, that is effectively, and given the prior amendment, it's effectively the same as saying we will dispense with the digital distribution consultant report unless the boss agrees to call any questions before the end of the before the end of the election. But go ahead, Wendy.
Okay. Privilege. This is Lauren. There's something really heavy on the phone that sounds. I hope it's not breathing, but if someone can say that, I would appreciate it.
It's a periodic, very loud static noise. That when it's happening, it drowns out the speech.
Yep. Thank you, Lauren. If you want to mute yourself, it's probably someone with their mouth in, with the phone against their face or something like that. Thank you. It's been remedied. Okay, Bob, and then Wendy.
Okay, this is not proposed out of any lack of valuing the importance of those final agenda items, but it's another of our difficult triage situations. We have a 2.5-hour executive session ahead of us, and that will not start now. Even if my motion passes, it won't start till almost 11 p.m. Eastern time. We just have to make some tough choices about things that that are not absolutely urgently time sensitive. I mean, if there's an aspect I'm missing of one of these later items that is urgent for tonight, then I would be open to reconsidering. But other than that, I just think we have to be reasonable and not allow by default people to fall off the call from the East Coast, the executive session, simply because they can't stay up any later.
This is Lydia.
Will the board permit me to respond as to the question of time sensitivity to provide information on that?
Well, I have an amendment to the motion.
Okay, well, Wendy's first. If the board doesn't want me to provide that, go ahead, Wendy.
Well, I was actually, you said what I was going to say, Dave, which is that Bob's motion essentially is just eliminating the digital distribution report. I also want to just remind everyone that the reason that we pick Friday nights is so that we can finish our business. But I mean, I also, you know, I don't think we end up being that productive after 5 hours. So I'm still speaking against Bob's motion. But anyway, that's it.
Point of clarification,
privilege or something. I would like to have heard the information that the chair had.
What?
I would like to have heard the information that the chair had.
My motion might address it.
I'm just going to go ahead. The reason that there's time sensitivity to digital distribution issue is that the executive director has proposed extending by 1 month the term of the contract, and we're going to have to make a determination on conflict of interest again, and therefore, without having any information on the progress of the work to date, it's hard for the board to make a determination on that question. Lydia.
That was my motion. Since it was made before the time certain motion, I am moving to amend, and I seconded the 10:45 time certain, is that digital distribution remain where it is on the agenda. I think that my two motions can wait until the next session. Anyway, I think governance will probably want to consider at least one of them. And I think also number five should have the new ED weigh in on number five.
LeVar, can you tell us whether the Finance Committee has forwarded a motion to the CMB on the development professional?
No,
did they consider it yet?
No, this is LeVar. No, we have not. We have not met. And I think the motion is kind of like quite complete in terms of what in terms of, you know, how the request for the amount from each station, I think it needs to work on it even before
right.
The committee works on it.
We were waiting for the committee's work, so if the committee's not ready, then is there any objection to dropping that item?
No.
Five and six.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Okay, so there's an amendment to make the time certain be 10:45 and to remove items five and six from the agenda. Sir,
no, and to
that?
Restore no, and to restore digital distribution
no, that's
to number
a different,
three.
We already
that's
agreed
a,
to that.
We already did that.
That's a different thing,
folks. As a point of personal privilege, I got 3 hours sleep last night and not much more than that the previous night. So if people could ask to be recognized, it'll help me maintain my composure for the full 5 hours of festivities we have in front of
us. Okay, I was trying to clarify my substitute motion.
Go ahead.
My substitute motion is to adjourn at 10:45 Eastern, time certain, to restore digital distribution to number three, to remove items five and six.
Okay.
I second that.
Good question.
I can't.
Any debate?
Yes, Mary Berg. I would have gone with it, but I will not. I can't. We'll have to go to a vote. Those are very different things. So I still think the digital distribution will come at the end, and there was only one objection, so I don't think that should be even part of this. But if it is, I'll have to vote all of it down.
Okay.
Sorry. Can I move to divide the
vote? Wait. Yeah, I'm going to ask for a division of the question.
Okay,
first,
that's what I...
Is there any objection to dropping items 5 and 6 from this agenda?
No.
No.
Hearing no objection, they're dropped. So now we will vote on Brazon's amendment, which effectively now is maintaining the position. Actually, of restoring digital distribution to the third position. If you want to amend it to return it to that position, vote yes. If you want to leave it as the last item of business, vote no. Mary, will you call the roll, please?
Okay. So now, let me just be clear. If we vote yes, we are moving it.
If you vote, yes, you are restoring it to the third position in the agenda. If you vote no, it remains the last item.
Okay. Okay. Mary Burke says no. Evelyn Bethune?
No.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Lisa Davis?
Yes.
Chandra Halfman?
No.
Ray LaForest, are you present?
Yes, I am. I'm voting yes.
Okay. Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Abstain.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa?
No.
Sandra Rawline?
No.
Berthold Reimers, are you present? If so, are you voting? Rob Robinson, oh, say, are you voting? You're not voting, right?
I have to recuse myself.
Right, that's correct, yes. Rip Robbins?
Yes.
Thomas Ruffin, are you on the call? If so, are you voting? Wendy Schrell?
Yes.
Lori Taguma, are you on the call and voting? Don White?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
I abstain.
Michael Woodson?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Anyone whose name I did not call who wants to vote? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's 10 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no, and 2 abstentions.
Okay, so the amendment passes. Any other amendments to the agenda before we vote it?
Yeah, we were going to vote on time certain.
Please?
No, we agreed to that.
The time certain, I thought was
10:45.
Okay, so is there any objection to fixing a time certain?
No.
10:45 first time?
Yeah. Point of order.
Yes. Yes, Wendy?
Well, I hear Sandra trying to be recognized, but that's not my point of order. This is actually amending something previously adopted, and I hate to say it because I want to put it back to item three, but doesn't it take two-thirds to amend something previously?
No, that would be if we had passed it at a previous session and somebody was bringing it up.
Right.
But in the same meeting, we can just vote it again and again and again?
Well,
there should be a motion to reconsider. Yeah,
in the same meeting,
I can look it up. But
I really don't care. I just want it to be clear.
I don't think there's any problem with the body based on the further discussion and further amendments changing the order. I don't believe it's exactly the same as the initial thing because the initial thing applied to a different set of order that we were adopting. So it was materially different in any case because the agenda had been changed. So, Sandra, do you have anything further?
Well, I just wanted to ask Rob a question. Is his report going to take a full 40 minutes, or is there any way that he can condense it down and give us the highlights?
Thank you. The answer
Rob,
to that, Sandra,
answer?
Is yes, I can.
Thank you, Rob.
Could we get to the substance, folks? Are we done with the agenda?
Yeah.
10:45,
yes.
Certain? We didn't get
yes.
Are we agreed that we will adjourn at 10:45, certain?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Is there any objection to adopting this agenda and proceeding? Hearing none, will proceed. Then the first thing is the confidentiality agreement. Where we left it last was that Dan had been asked to add clarifying language to the work of the committee to resolve the ambiguities about how members can communicate across bodies, so to speak. Dan just emailed around that language. I don't know whether Sarv or Dan wants to introduce it. Actually, Dan, since you did the edits, will you introduce them?
Oh.
Sure. Actually,
these are edits that were suggested by Dave, for which I appreciate his efforts. Basically, when we spoke on the last draft around whether PNB members could talk to PNB members about things that had been discussed in an executive session and whether LSB members could do the same, people felt that the language we put together was perhaps ambiguous and should be tightened up. So it has now been tightened up, and it provides that PNB members can speak with PNB members, but may not share PNB secrets with LSB members without the approval of the PNB. And LSB members can share with LSB members as well as PNB members.
And will you read the language itself? And since I did make this recommendation, if anybody would like me to yield the chair for this, I can. We would yield it to Mary since Sarv is also was the original maker.
Right.
Do you have it handy, Dan?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So it's in the paragraph that follows the paragraph numbered 5, and the new language is in the second sentence, 4 lines down, starts this. This does not preclude local station board members from sharing confidential information provided to the LSB with other LSB members, whether or not those LSB members were present at any given executive session. And just, this is the comment there, since PNB members are also LSB members, it would mean that your LSB could share information with you as PNB/LSB members. And then the other new paragraph, or the other new sentence says, similarly, Pacifica National Board members are not precluded from sharing confidential information with other PNB members, although PNB members shall not share any information from PNB executive sessions with their LSBs without explicit PNB approval.
Point of information, did I hear you say, Dan, that you sent that out to us?
Yeah, just a little while ago, a few minutes ago.
Thank you.
Okay, so Sarv, I guess, is the original maker. Would you like to move the amended language?
Yes, I move that it be adopted.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
I second it.
Any debate?
Yes.
Go ahead, Levon.
Yeah, I just got it also, so I'm just reading it, although I think this paragraph might have been in there earlier. It's the paragraph about, I will not disclose to anyone other than an attorney for the Pacifica Foundation or my own attorney, provided that my attorney agrees to maintain confidentiality. I guess that's like standard practice, right?
any confidential information regarding the Pacifica Foundation. I just don't understand why we would why this is in here about I want to not disclose to anyone other than an attorney for the Pacifica Foundation.
A point of order.
I'm trying to understand why that clause and what does it mean.
What's your point of order, sir?
At the last PNB meeting, the only item that need to be clarified was the item that our counsel just described, and the rest of them was approved by the rest of the body. So
I'm not sure how that was left in terms of motion, but as a courtesy to the member,
sure,
if you were
fine.
Part of those discussions, could you explain the reason for that provision?
Which provision?
The provision that
I mentioned when you interrupted me when I was talking, and this is the provision on why I will not disclose to anyone other than an attorney for the Pacifica Foundation any confidential information regarding the Pacifica Foundation. I just don't understand why that clause in there about why disclosing to an attorney for the Pacifica Foundation. I mean, I don't see the need or, I mean, for this clause.
Well,
I'm trying to understand why the need for that clause.
I think that I'll try to describe it, and then Dan, if he wants to jump in there, he can describe also.
Sure.
I think that our foundation counsel is legally, morally, and ethically bound to protect this foundation and keep the best interest of the foundation. And I think it's for that reason that if information is disclosed to me in confidence, that I should not be disclosing it to the rest of the world out there, except my own, unless I have my own attorney, for some reason I'm involved in a lawsuit against the foundation, then I can disclose it to my own attorney. However, that attorney should also keep that in mind. So I think to protect this fund, I think that's why that paragraph is written. And maybe Dan has more elaboration on it.
Right. I mean, I think there are many situations where you'd want your counsel to have access to this information. For example, if there is a lawsuit against the foundation or a threatened lawsuit against the foundation where these communications may be relevant. The other thing, which is to protect the board member specifically, is that as a board member, if you're concerned about whether something happened at a executive session which is improper or which may subject you to personal liability, you should be allowed to, at your option, discuss it with the foundation's attorney or with your own attorney if you are not satisfied or feel there may be some reason why you wanted to go beyond the foundation's attorney and get an opinion from someone independent of the foundation. So that's there both to protect the foundation and to protect the members of the board.
Ray.
This is
Lauren. Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm kind of troubled by that segment also. Would it be useful to specify the circumstances under which, I mean, this is the first time I'm seeing this language, all the subs that we voted on it. I don't remember that particular language.
This language is...
The one alluding
to
communicating that you're talking about executive session material to individuals' personal attorneys. I understand what Dan just explained. I'm saying that would it be useful for us to put the limitation that it would be shared specifically within the context, the kind of context described by Dan, rather than me having the privilege to discuss anything on what was my attorney?
Before I ask whether you want to make that a motion, I'll let Dan respond.
Well, you know, I think we can... We could try to make a list, but it's very hard to be exhaustive. And I, again, I would think that if any member of the board feels compelled, for whatever reason, to discuss something that happened on the board with their attorney, and if their attorney agrees to maintain the confidentiality, that protects both the foundation and the individual member who may feel the need for such advice.
LaVon, you would like
yes.
to speak?
When you discuss things with the attorney, I believe that it will be confidential. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't discuss it with an attorney. Otherwise you would just divulge confidential information to any old person or any other organization. So therefore, I still don't see the need for the attorney, for the foundation attorney to be the central conduit as far as anything that's discussed in executive session or in closed session. I just don't see the need for this because the board itself is what's responsible, and we consult our foundation counsel, except that our foundation counsel has been on all of our calls. But we would ordinarily just consult the counsel when we needed an opinion on something. But to be the central person to on information flow within closed session, I don't see that need at all.
If I may, Dave, Levarne, I'm not sure that we're understanding this language in the same way. It doesn't make the attorney the central conduit for information. Rather, it gives you the right at your option, not the attorney's option, to consult with the attorney. So it's not the attorney who has the option here. It's you, the 22 members of the National Board.
If
you feel the need to talk with an attorney, can either talk to the foundation's attorney, which at the moment happens to be me, but it could be whoever that person is, or your own attorney. Again, at your option, not the attorney's option.
But we have about 5 more minutes left in the item. I do want to point out to the board that the board may want to make a decision whether it wants to pass this now, because it can always amend the thing later if it creates problems. That's not a problem, and if it's noticed, it only requires a simple majority. But that being said, does anybody, Levarne, are you, would you like to make a motion to strike or alter any language?
Basically would like to table it to another meeting, if or whatever, because I just don't see the need and the explanation. Can I just add one other thing? Because anytime you consult an attorney, you're not in an adversarial role. You're looking for information that can help you to make the right decision as far as the foundation. But you're not in necessarily. I mean, I wasn't even thinking of being in an adversarial role. So.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone to when, Levarne, the next meeting?
The next meeting because of the shortness of time tonight.
Okay, so there's a motion to postpone the item till the next meeting. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay, hearing a second. We're going to, basically, to make our time, we're going to have to go to a vote now on this and then on the proposal. So if you feel the need for further debate before you're confident in voting, then you need to vote to postpone. If you're confident about voting now, then you can do that. So will you call the roll on the motion to postpone?
Okay. Mary Berg votes no. Evelyn Bethune? I'm sorry, I'll come back. I didn't hear that.
Pass, Mary.
You abstain? Okay, thank you. Lydia Brazon?
A pass.
No.
My
vote is no, but Evelyn passed.
Oh, she passed. I'm sorry. Okay, had that as abstain. A.C. Bird? Pardon me?
Explain that again on what's no and what's...
If you vote to postpone, then we'll take it up at our next meeting. If you vote not to postpone, we'll go immediately to a vote on the language before us and pass that up or down.
Well, no is not to postpone.
Right, no, right. Is to not postpone, yes.
Okay, no.
Okay. Lisa Davis?
No.
Chandra Helpman?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Pass.
Okay. Ambrose Lane?
No.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Margaret Prescott? I'll come back to you. Sarv Randhawa?
No.
Sandra Wallein? Did she say no? I'm sorry, Sandra, I didn't hear you. I'll come back to Sandra. I didn't hear that. Federal Reimers, are you on the call? Rob Robinson, are you voting or not?
I'm
I'm voting no.
Rip Robin?
Yes.
Thomas Ruffin, are you on this call?
I don't know what the issue is.
You're voting? You went the way AC went. He voted.
I said, I don't know what the issue is. I just
oh, you want to know what the issue is?
Yeah.
The issue is whether or not you want to postpone the approval of the revised language in the confidentiality agreement now or postpone until a later meeting.
Is there a date set for the later meeting?
No.
But it'll be a month.
It'll be what?
In approximately 1 month.
Yeah, both. I vote to postpone.
You vote yes. Okay. Wendy Schrill?
I abstain.
Okay. Lori Taguma, are you present and voting?
I am present.
And are you voting on this? And if so,
sure. I vote no.
Okay.
Can you tell me how to mute also? Is it
pound one?
All righty. Thank you.
That's a toggle. Mute and unmute. Don White?
Oh, thank you.
I'm voting yes.
LaVarne Williams?
Yes.
Michael Woodson? Michael. Okay. Is that Michael unmuting? Hey, Michael, I'll come back to you. Stay, unmute yourself. Okay, let's see. Evelyn?
Mary?
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and change my vote to yes.
You're going to vote yes. All right. Now, let's see. Evelyn Bethune?
And a no means that we don't postpone, right?
That we do it now instead of postponing.
And I vote no.
Okay. And let's see. Ray LaForest?
I want to vote like Doug Bethune.
I'm sorry?
I vote no.
You're voting no? Okay.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of static, so I can't really...
That was awesome.
Okay, it's awesome. Margaret Prescott.
No.
Okay. So, Sandra Rawline.
I vote no.
Okay. Michael Woodson. Don't hear Michael. Going, gone. Michael, are you voting? All right, then, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 no. So
that sounds like a no. Okay, we're going to move to the draft report. So will you call the roll if you're in favor of adopting the confidentiality agreement as submitted by Dan just now? Please say yes. If you're opposed, say no.
There weren't enough votes to postpone?
No.
No, there were not. Okay, so Michael Woodson, are you here voting? Okay, I'll try you again. LaVarne Williams.
No.
You're voting no. Okay. Don White?
Yes.
Lori Taguma? I'll come back to you.
I vote.
You
can
what?
Pass it.
Okay.
Pass.
That's
whatever
yes.
That is.
Okay. Wendy Schrill? Thank you. Wendy Schrill? Wendy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I was muted. Yes.
Okay. Thomas Ruffin.
This is for or against adopting the document?
Yes.
I'm against adoption.
All right. You both know. Rip Robbins?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Bertold Reimers, are you here and voting? Yes, no. Sandra Rawline?
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa?
Yes.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Abstain.
Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Chandra Hoffman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay. Lisa Davis?
Yes.
A.C. Byrd?
Yes.
Lydia Brezon?
Yes.
Evelyn Bethune?
Yes.
Mary Burke says yes. So, Michael Woodson? Okay. What happened to Michael? One, two, three, four.
Oh, there's one passing. Somebody passed.
One, two, three, four, five.
Mary?
Eight, nine, ten.
Mary, Lori yes. passed and you didn't go back to her.
Who passed?
Lori.
Lori, I'm sorry. I put you as a yes and pass sound awfully similar. Sorry, I didn't get your... I'm sorry about that. What are you voting?
No, I just did vote yes.
Oh, you did vote yes.
Oh, sorry. So it was my mistake.
No.
But it was unclear. Sorry.
No, I understood you. But, okay, fine. She didn't pass. She voted yes. So that... Okay, I think I... Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, yes. And the no's, I have 1, 2. And one abstention. Okay.
No, you have 2 abstentions.
I thought I had 2. Can't find the other one. I thought I had 2.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah, there are 2. Yes, here they are. Okay, so it's 15 yes, 2 no, 2 abstention.
Michael Woodson votes yes.
I'm sorry? Oh, Michael you're voting yes?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Sorry.
Okay, so that
the confidentiality agreement has been adopted and will now be in force, and our IED can distribute it as needed to those who need to sign it. The next thing is the digital distribution consultant report. Rob, take it away.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Okay, thank you very much again. There has been some delay, and that primarily has been as a result of difficulties in the transition from the EDs. But what I would like to do at this point is talk about progress that we've made since the last report that I made to you at the end of July, and I'm going to do it on a project basis. The first project I want to talk about is the PodSafe Music Library. In early August, John Almella, Pete Caracas, and I met with the folks from WFMU to discuss the PodSafe archive that they've been developing recently with a $400,000 grant from the Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors. And they shared with us the structure for their library, as well as some of the things that they're doing in digital platforms, including things like their online blogs. Secondly, we met with Eva Georgia, and Eva Georgia at KPFK has designated her operations director, Zuberi Fields, to staff the development of a PodSafe library at KPFK. We've had meetings with the KPFK staff, as well as with Creative Commons staff, and the Creative Commons staff are developing some mock-ups for artists so that they can understand how to use the license. We also have developed a draft document.
Rob,
yes,
I'd like
sir.
To ask Tom to please mute himself while Rob's talking, because there's a lot of background noise that's making it pretty difficult. And Rob, can you also summarize for people who may not remember just the details of when you talk about these licenses?
I'm sorry. PodSafe Music, first of all, if we can cut the interference. Well, Mr. Chair, it sounds like it's not going to happen. PodSafe Music is basically music which we have the rights to, for which we will not have to pay copyright, additional copyright charges if it's broadcast on the Internet.
Great, thank you.
Is that where you wanted to go with this?
I just wanted that clarified, yes.
Okay. In addition to everything else, we have actually developed an agreement which includes a release for the recording of the live music in the studio, as well as an agreement with the musicians to use the Creative Commons license. The particular Creative Commons license we're talking about using can only be used for non-commercial purposes, can only be used if the artist receives attribution, and will also enable the stations to use segments of the music recorded, not simply for the entire concert, but if the station wants to use a portion of the music for bumper music or as thematic music for a show, it will enable them to do that. So that's called a 3.0 Creative Commons license. And so we have actually gotten our legal counsel's approval of that document. So we're actually ahead of the producer agreements that we'll talk about later on. In addition to that, we've talked to the people at the Future of Music Coalition, which is a nonprofit organization which represents many progressive musicians that have concerns about the way that the recording industry shares profits and rights with musicians. They're very interested in supporting us to the extent that we are going to use Creative Commons licenses and our ability to distribute music to bring the music of new artists to wider audiences. And they're also, I would point out, they're also interested in developing some database tools with us, for example, tools that would help authenticate the rights and determine the ownership of different music. The last thing I would point out about in terms of this PodSafe Music Library is that we are definitely going to have to identify an IT professional to work with us in developing this. Secondly, I'd like to talk about some of the parameters for the infrastructure for Pacifica to go digital. Number one, we have itemized hardware and software requirements to begin digital distribution for Pacifica. We've identified some of the software programming needs that we have, as well as some of the software programs that are off the shelf that will help us do things, for example, to call programming from live local station feeds to make that part of national webcasts. We have the budgets that I just discussed include bandwidth, adding bandwidth, hardware, software, as well as software development. There are certain areas where we will have to develop software programming to do specific things, whether it has to do with creating, modifying the audio port to hold PodSafe music or for other purposes. And we've also identified a major resource partner, the Internet Archive, which you can find is archive.org, that has agreed to host program content for us as much as we want, and they will also help us in terms of solving the problems that we have in archiving materials. For example, one of the things that we're doing with archive.org right now is discussing how they could conceivably digitize the Pacifica radio archives in such a way that does not do violence to the plans that PRA currently has for using those archival materials. Ah, Jimi Hendrix weighs in.
People always feedback, don't they?
I'd like to talk briefly next about donors. Creative Commons has put us in touch with one of their major funding partners, that's the MacArthur Foundation, and we are talking with them about a long-term relationship. Bear in mind, we're a little bit different than Creative Commons. Pacifica, in going to the MacArthur Foundation, would be in competition with a number of other large mainstream non-commercial organizations. But they're very interested in speaking with us, and Professor Lessig from Creative Commons has been very supportive. We also have reached out to a number of national and regional foundations, some of which have a history of Pacifica. There are organizations like the Ford Foundation that supported Pacifica in the late 40s, the early 50s, and organizations like the Veach Foundation, which was instrumental in supporting WBAI in the late 60s. And we are talking to those groups. I can provide those of you that are interested with a list of some of the foundations that we're talking to. We we're also talking to individuals both on the East and the West Coast about doing some, you know, basically just some fundraising with groups. And we're targeting some groups that we think Pacifica would like to have a long-term relationship with, such as the Open Society Institute or the Hewlett Foundation or possibly even Red Hat, although we haven't been able to find whether or not the Linux people actually have an active foundation at this point. So we're doing that. I would also like to indicate that we have a $25,000 grant proposal that will fund a lot of the basic infrastructure that we need in terms of hardware and software to create a digital infrastructure for Pacifica that will be going out next week. It's been reviewed by Lonnie Hicks and by David Adelson and by our IED, and we are hoping with our fingers crossed that that will result in some funding that will help us put together some of the basic infrastructure. In terms of producer agreements, we've been a little bit delayed in talking with our FCC counsel, John Krigler, about the draft of the producer agreements that we did several months ago. John Krigler, as many of you on the Licensing and Distribution Task Force know, came out with a draft for the producer agreements, which is significantly different than what we worked on as a community, and we want to resolve that confusion. One of the major concerns that we have is that we believe, many of us in the organization, that unpaid staff largely own the content that they produce. Mr. Krigler disagrees with us, and as you can imagine, this is a major hurdle for us to overcome if we're going to get unpaid staff to agree to let Pacifica redistribute their programming. We're definitely going to have to be clear on the ownership of rights and interests of unpaid versus paid staff and the foundation. Finally, Creative Commons IT staff and creative staff are not only helping us with the development of the PodSafe Music Archive, they're also helping develop mock-ups that will enable the unpaid producers to understand what these agreements are about, how they work, what rights they have, and so on and so forth. So as soon as we resolve some of the legal differences, we will be ready to go directly to staff and management and begin talking about that. There are only two things quickly about best practices that I would mention. One is that Creative Commons is working with us to develop a series of case studies that we can do for many of the areas where copyright issues are not clear. This has to do with the releases that we use in different conditions, whether it's someone providing us with a speech or somebody that simply goes on a news program and is quoted. And we have also worked with Creative Commons to develop a series of paradigm cases that will help us to define how to identify the copy issues that we have in the future. And one of the reasons that this is important is because, for example, in looking at developing the Pacifica Radio Archives and digitizing all of that content that we have, over 49,000 reel-to-reel tapes, one of the issues is that we can't establish clear copyright ownership to some of that text. We think in terms of working down the road with Creative Commons and our own staff that we can develop policies that will enable us to avoid some of these conflicts and actually may help us develop better standards for the future. Finally, in terms of communications plans, the thing that we would like to see to announce Pacifica's move into the Internet would be to develop a series of programs featuring some of the great voices like Lawrence Lessig of Creative Commons or Brewster Kahle from the Internet Archive, Robert McChesney, who many of us know from Free Speech, Jeff Chester from Center for Digital Democracy, Brad Templeton from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to talk to many of the programmers at our local stations, Emmanuel Goldstein, for example, from Off the Hook, the folks from Technology Bytes at KPFT, the folks at Digital Village from KPFK, to bring them into the process of developing programming from Pacifica that talks about how we are going to move into the digital era. And I think that's one of the best ways for us to go. The only other thing that I would like to mention is that in the last report I announced that we'd added the Internet Archive as a resource partner. We are on the cusp of being able to add the Future of Music Coalition as a partner at this point in time. And let me cut that off. Let me cut the report off at that point, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thanks. It's open for discussion.
This is Lydia.
Nice spot.
Go ahead.
Yes, Rob, could you send us both the Krigler opinion and how we are looking at these rights in relation to unpaid programmers? I think that's going to be like a major point of discussion at our local stations for sure. And also, I would like to see us, and even though I won't be on the board next year, but at the in-person meetings, to take different pieces, the controversial pieces in particular, up during a session during the PMB meeting, and that when we go to D.C., that we have Mr. Krigler there, and that be the point where we also have this this more in-depth discussion. This is a discussion that has been going on for years. This is not just as a result of this issue.
It's unfortunately, the opinion Mr. Krigler has that Pacifica owns all content has never been defined in writing. It does not exist as a series of producer agreements that we have, and for that reason, we feel that it's a very weak position to take. But we have to, you know, we have to resolve that with him by discussion.
Right, but mine was not asking about that particularly. But I would like to read.
You want the two different opinions.
The two different opinions, because it's not exclusive to Mr. Krigler. This is a widely long time discussion within Pacifica, and then of course what we're proposing as the counter to that.
Dan, sure. Excuse me. Hello, can I say a word on this?
Yes, please do.
Yes, please.
Because you know, we've had this discussion a few times, and it should be clear both to the board and to members and other persons who are interested in this issue that the issue is primarily a policy question, not a legal question. So, I mean, it certainly, you know, could well be worthwhile for the board to discuss this matter with John Krigler as well as other attorneys, including myself. It's essentially a policy issue. I mean, what Mr. Krigler is saying is that if Pacifica chooses to, it is legally supported in asserting its right to ownership. And I think that that's probably not a very exceptional or controversial point. On the other hand, it's been the position of Rob and of, you know, the former executive director, Greg Gumma, and my sense, many of the members of the board, that Pacifica, as a matter of choice and policy, wants to recognize the producer as the owner of the work. So I just say this so that people can start thinking about it, because I believe that the decision that you ultimately make will not be based on dueling legal opinions, but simply as a matter of policy.
Well, the board, I'd like to turn the chair over to Sarv, if I'd like to comment.
Well, I want to say something, too.
Go ahead, Dave.
So in case, for those people who find that idea that we would voluntarily recognize that right a little odd, there's a couple of rationales for it. One of them is because in the world that's coming, the view is that Pacifica is going to be in competition for talented producers. And if talented producers do not need Pacifica to reach a broad audience, then the question will be, what sort of arrangements are they making with Pacifica that are desirable from their point of view? And so if Pacifica says, for those of you who work as part of Pacifica, you have to transfer all your rights to us, But if you're somebody like David Barsamian or somebody like Free Press or any of the other outside organizations whose programming we air as part of an effort to draw audience, if you're one of those people, well, you keep all rights, then what you're essentially doing is biasing producers against wanting to be staff at Pacifica stations, and your only draw is, well, we've got this FM signal, which is still a draw. But then there's the larger point, which is, if our larger charitable model is based on people believing in the social role we're playing, and moreover, supporting a broader civic media, which is crucially dependent on having all hands on deck to help build distribution for civic media, then it remains in our interest to license things in this way rather than claim proprietary interests. Now, as Rob talked about in the PodSafe archive issue, the idea is that Pacifica would be getting a set of rights that let it do a whole lot of things. And I also think that we would have certain reserved rights, potentially, that would not be generally provided. For example, we'd be issuing a general non-commercial license, but we'd be retaining certain rights, possibly, with respect to certain commercial uses. But the fundamental idea, and the one that I know people are going to have a hard time with, is the idea that it is in our interest to recognize that the creative product of our producers belong to them as part of being able to compete effectively for their programming and for them to want to be a part of Pacifica in a world in which just being the gatekeeper of an FM signal isn't enough.
Thomas, I wanted to talk.
Next question was Thomas. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I wanted to say is a great deal different from what Dave said, but I'd start out by making this remark. I'm glad that Dan added on what he said. I'm glad to hear Dan's remarks because I was troubled by the idea that we would negotiate with Krigler, the lawyer, with regard to this license or this arrangement. It didn't make sense to me why we would negotiate with our lawyer. And so now I understand better. And if it's a policy decision about how we handle this copyright and the license associated with it, I think that we build ourselves more trouble than we already have by simply granting to programmers a right that they might not have. If we actually have the right, I don't think there's any benefit in just ceding it over to the programmers. And first of all, I think the best inducement to get good programmers is to acquire the revenue so that we can pay good programmers to work for us. And then also, I think whether we get good programmers with compensation by way of money or whether we provide a license or whether we provide recognize in them a copyright that we ordinarily would have, I think we still are dealing with a situation where there's so many people who want to be on the radio station that they fight each other. And we have never come to terms with how we share the space, how we get bad programmers off and how we induce good programmers to stay with us. But all of that is to say this. The better course of action, I think, would be if we wanted to use this copyright or any license associated with it to induce good programming, would not be to give to the programmer something they don't have, that is a copyright. But if we were to do something, recognizing them or negotiate and grant to them a license of a limited nature such that they could profit from their programming outside of the station, but do so in a fashion that would provide as little competition to Pacifica as possible, and also perhaps could even enhance Pacifica's prestige in the broader community. I think that's better. I think this is my concern. Right now, at each station, there are a bunch of programmers and would-be programmers who fight each other rather than work together to produce better programming. And right now, we have five stations that don't coalesce, don't share their resources, and oftentimes duplicate themselves, such as with premiums, with programming prerogatives, setting up programming, and the like. And I think that if we pooled our resources, for example, with premiums and with the purchase of some programs, we could actually cut our costs tremendously. But we don't do that. We don't coordinate services. We don't coordinate management skills. We don't even coordinate experiences. And this, to me, the idea of giving to each programmer full copyright or a broad copyright, something akin to a copyright over the programs they make, puts the programmer in the position that they are so independent that the programmers would be even less would be even more difficult for Pacifica to manage. And right now, I think that's troubling. Pacifica is made up of so many parts that we as a board and the executive director cannot manage them. And we're not trying to do that when we keep breaking it up and empowering the parts so that they can do whatever they want.